welcome everyone to this week's Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics related to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is getting new volunteers engaged. CCL has experienced a wonderful surge of new growth in the past several months since our summer, with over 10% of our overall membership across the country signing up to sign up and find out about CCL since the 1st of June. So if you're listening to this, chances are you probably have seen some of that growth in your own chapter. And in this training tonight, what we're going to do is learn from CCL leaders like the wonderful Miranda Phillips and Jean Rytok about suggestions for engaging new volunteers and keeping them coming back for more, including how to welcome your new volunteers and successfully onboard them into your group, and how to really help delegate, ask for help, and keep people involved through a lot of the tools and the techniques that we'll review. With that, let's get to know both of our wonderful speakers tonight. We're going to share the stage with the wonderful Miranda Phillips. Miranda is a community organizer in Ithaca, New York, and she co-leads the CCL chapter in New York's 23rd District that spans all the way from Ithaca to Jamestown. She's also a career Jewish educator teaching in synagogues, and in her spare time, she's a big fan of 80s music, wordplay, musicals, swimming, dancing, and reading with her husband and two young kids. And with us tonight as well is Jean Rytok. After a 44-year career in education and computer services, Jean decided that her life now belongs to the community, and in May 2016 set out to identify points of high leverage where her own action could make a big difference, specifically in addressing climate action and dissolving that barrier that divides people and empowers us as individuals. She joined CCL and still today is actively promoting, empowering, and supporting CCL and the Raleigh-Durham chapter. So with that, let's jump in to our agenda. We're going to have a straightforward flow. We're going to first learn from Jean on her whole process and background behind welcoming new volunteers. We're going to then pass it to Miranda, who's going to walk through her chapter and the larger three-phase onboarding process that New York 23 has been using for a long time and that many other chapters now have benefited from as well as a review. We'll have the chance to review then the power of asking for help, as well as some considerations, especially if you're listening in as a smaller chapter and you feel like, hey, this is, you know, a lot to take on. I'm only a chapter of one or five people right now. Let's think about how we can scale this up and down. And then we'll also have the chance to review how you can set some of this up and automate it most easily on Community so that a lot of this work can be done without you having to think about it after you get all the input in. So let's start by welcoming Jean Rytok. She's going to specifically give her own background and then talk about some of the techniques, including Google Forms and some of the key questions and motivations that North Carolina's Raleigh-Durham chapter use to really be able to most effectively engage their new volunteers. So I'll take it away from here, Jean, and thank you all for joining us.
Jean Rytok, I'm the co-leader of the Raleigh-Durham chapter here in North Carolina. We got interested in this topic of onboarding volunteers and getting them engaged. Okay. It started with me doing all of the welcome calls myself. Don Adju was leading the chapter and I was coming on board as a volunteer. And I said, you know, I'd like to do welcome calls. So I started doing them myself. I wrote up a little script for myself. I was keeping notes about who I was talking to and that sort of thing. And then we would put them in our chapter roster based on what they said. And we brought some other people in to do that as I moved into becoming a co-leader of the chapter. And so the other people did a great job, but they were working full time. I was a retiree. Actually, it started small, just maybe one or two people behind, maybe one or two people each week that we weren't getting to welcome them into our chapter. And then we would have some successful events and get a few more people to come in the door. Then all of a sudden it became 10 people, then 20 people, and we developed this backlog, so we really need to do something to do a better job volunteer. So our principle became all the people who come to us, no matter how, who are seeking to join or have signed a piece of paper somewhere saying for more information, they all get funneled to one person. And that one person does a standard thing with each one of them. Blog. We use the process of sending them a like a generic email, part of which was filling out a Google form questionnaire. What are you interested in? Why are you coming here? And one of the tick marks there was, do you want someone to call you and talk to you about it? So that managed the number of welcome calls that we had to do. After a while, we got enough volunteers in the welcoming team. Actually, we were recruiting welcoming team people from the new volunteers coming in. So now, I guess the other piece to bring in here is using Adam Levine's work on engaging volunteers. That has been the spirit of everything we've done. That every person who comes here comes from something from them has caused them to take the action. So we want to ask about that. We want to say, what are you looking for? How can we fulfill what you're seeking here? And here's the kinds of things that are available, but you can also make something up if you don't see it. It's all in service of getting national legislation passed to address climate change. So we always talk to people that way. In our, one of the things now that our welcome team does after they see this response to the email, they make sure that people are invited to our next or the following chapter meeting. And we've set up our chapter meetings so that the people who are new to our chapter, they come in to the chapter meeting. We all gather together first and go around. And then after that, and before the national call, we send our guests, our new people, into another room. And the guest room is a person from our speakers bureau who leads the guest room, a person from our welcome team who makes sure all the welcome pieces are done in the guest room. And those two together spend time with our guests so that when that room is finished, and it's usually finished about the same time as the national call, the people, all the new people, have filled out a get to know you form, and that has what teams are you interested in and that sort of thing. And they've given us a little bit more information about themselves. And then they go back and we introduce them to the team leaders that of the activities that they are interested in. Last part of our chapter meetings is a free-for-all where everybody gets up out of their chairs and we just do networking within the room. Who needs what? Let's arrange this next thing. It looks like a free-for-all, a chaos, but it's all kinds of networking going on where the new people are getting into the activities of the teams.
All right. Thank you so much, Jean. I think a lot of us can identify, especially with her own background and that experience of feeling like slowly, the surge of new members that you're getting at times can be overwhelming or hard to keep up with, and really finding a way to strategize and funnel people that are looking for ways to be engaged into that specific way that Raleigh-Durham has been able to really engage and have this cohesive system. So what we're actually going to do now is pass it to Miranda to really break this down into more step-by-step phase. Every group's different. Every chapter has their own approach. This is by no means the only way of doing things, but really to zoom in and show what this 1-2-3 process can look like, we're going to learn from a group that has been doing the best, or at least very effectively, for a very long time. And with that, I'll pass it to you. And we really appreciate you joining us as well tonight, Miranda.
Thanks, Brett. I don't offer this as a, here's what we do in NY23, but rather this, I hope you can see as a general template, a menu for, well, maybe I'll take a little of this, I'll take a little of that. And please know that, we don't do all these things. We do some of these things, and I hope you'll find a few things here that can be useful for you as well. Again, it's a menu. But what we do and what I hope you will also do is these three broad categories: welcoming, follow-up, check-in, and going deeper. The details are what you can, massage as you like. So when a new volunteer shows up on our roster, Right away, we send welcome outreach, just like Jean said. Some chapters do that with a welcome email, with general information about the chapter and an invitation to the upcoming meeting. Some chapters additionally, have a phone call. In my experience and in the experience of other chapters I've spoken with, that call really makes a difference, even if it's just leaving a voicemail, that we have people report that made a difference to them. That said, if you don't have the bandwidth for, if you don't have a volunteer who likes doing that kind of calling, then do what you can. Just send an email. But it's a good idea to keep an eye out for, well, could we find a volunteer in our chapter who really enjoys being that friendly voice on somebody's answering machine? And when you do reach out, when we reach out by email and by phone, we make sure to invite those volunteers, the new person on the roster, to participate in our upcoming meeting in not just one, but two options for participating. They can come in person or they can come by teleconference through Zoom, the way you are now. And we've found this makes a big, big difference. Even for people in our, people who could have driven to the meeting, but it was, for whatever reason, more comfortable for them to come by teleconference. There are some people like that in our city. But then there are other people. We have a very large district, as Brett mentioned. We're, Ithaca to Jamestown. Although it's now a little bit smaller, we're dividing in two. But for most of our existence, we've been the size of New Jersey, our district. And so most people can't come to our meetings in person. And so offering a teleconference option is really, really, really key. And in maybe 10 minutes, I'm going to go in depth on what, how can you do that? What does that look like? So when a volunteer, first comes to our meeting, like Jean talked about how they have a special dedicated time for orienting what she called guests, newbies, whatever you want to call them. What we've got here on the slide, the first bullet point says, that's a really good idea. Set aside, a dedicated time for giving folks an overview and answering questions they may have. That can look a number of different ways. So for some chapters, there's a 30-minute orientation ahead of the meeting. And for our chapter, we do a potluck ahead of the meeting for everybody. We really like to break bread together. We find that makes a big difference to hang out informally and not just have a formal meeting. And for newbies who come to that potluck, we pull them aside and can orient them while everybody else is eating. Another chapter, the Rochester chapter, they find it works well for them to have the orientation happen later in the meeting during breakout time. The second half of their meeting is breakout time for action teams, where people are working on different projects. And one of those breakouts is the orientation for newbies. So again, a menu, right? Okay, another thing that the Rochester chapter does that they find really works well for them, we haven't done this as much, but it's just because we haven't tried it. They always offer a couple of easy opportunities that volunteers can do right away. They circulate a sign-up sheet for things like, the people who have no background can easily do to feel engaged right away. Tabling or a call drive or letter to, anybody can write a letter to their member of Congress, right? Or they have a little list of bite-sized tasks that are helpful to the various action teams. You want to be the person who makes the printouts for the next meeting or, is the one who brings snacks or whatever. And so that was all welcoming. And now we've moved to, the second step, which is following up with those people, checking in by phone, saying, hey, thanks so much for coming to the meeting. Just wanted to see how that was for you. There are a lot of great, environmental groups in our town. We're in Ithaca. We've got like 30 different varieties. Most important to us is that you shop around and find what suits you. Just checking to see if there are any questions I can answer, any further information I can give you. Would it be helpful if I sent a link to our new volunteers page? And lastly, some of our volunteers find that even when they're in the shopping phase, find that it's helpful to sit down with one of our veteran volunteers, me or someone else, and have a get-to-know-you conversation. 15 minutes could be over coffee, or it could be you could come to our next potluck. I would sound you out about what kinds of tasks do you most enjoy. We find that's really key, that if you're doing something you enjoy and it doesn't feel like work to you, then you're going to do your best work and you're going to want to keep engaged with us, and we're going to love you for it. So these next few slides are, Brett, can you show me what the next slide is? Yes. So that get to know you 15-minute conversation is what we're calling going deeper. And this is something that I developed based on some, Jean talked about, they got their act together when they were overwhelmed by, too many volunteers, and so they had to set up a system. So this is a system that I set up in November 2016, you may remember, things happened, and so we got a huge influx of volunteers, and we said, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And so I watched a bunch of CCL webinars like this, and from each one I took a little something and I put it together as a system that's now working for us. One of the key things I took away was something that Ricky Bradley, CCL staffer Ricky Bradley, said, which was this business about joy, that we do our best work when we're not even aware that it's work, because these are tasks that we really enjoy. So the goal of this 15-minute conversation with the new volunteer is to sound them out, help them tell you what it is that they most enjoy, plus a few other questions that are really helpful. So this could happen over coffee, it could happen by phone, or over potluck, as I said. And we have an intake form that you're welcome to use. That'll be available in the links at the end of the webinar. One of the things that we tease out in that interview is not just what kinds of tasks does the person enjoy, but also what associations do they have? Like, what other groups are they a part of? What neighborhood do they live in? Things that you might not otherwise learn if you just have them go straight to engaging in the work of your chapter. And I find that these associations are really, really helpful because, like, for example, I find out that so-and-so is an avid skier. And I say, oh my gosh, would you be willing to work with our, Grass Tops outreach team who goes around getting endorsements? Would you be willing to work with them to approach your local ski area? It makes a big, big difference. And the person's like, well, yeah, I didn't know that I could be helpful by just being me, right? So I encourage you to look at that interview format. And it's also fun. But before you go and you interview people, I recommend developing a wish list. Because you need to know what it is that you would hope a person would help you with before you go asking them what they like to do. So I We have a wish list for our chapter. I offer it as an example. Again, you'll see these documents. Brett will circulate them in some form. yours will look different than mine. Mine is there to sort of get your juices flowing about what you might put on your wish list. And the idea is these are tasks that, you know, if you never got a volunteer to come along and do X, you'll survive. But if the perfect volunteer comes along and says they like to do X, wow, you've got a great match. So let's see. Oh yeah, large, right. So what happens if you have, you might be saying to yourself, oh man, I don't have time to take 15 people to coffee, right? What we've done when we've gotten a whole bunch of new volunteers at once is we invited them all to our potluck, and then we we took veteran volunteers and matched them with newbies, and all those interviews were happening simultaneously over dinner, if that makes sense. And I got that idea from the Salt Lake City chapter, who they basically had a let's all go to a restaurant and have a mixer, basically. And they had the newbies mixing with the veterans, and they kind of did an informal 10-minute everybody chat with each other thing. The alternative is we can do that over our potluck, because we potluck once a month before our chapter meeting anyway. So we don't have to go to a restaurant. okay, so these are the types of questions that you would see on the, you know, the 15-minute intake interview. You're asking them about their interest in climate and CCL. What are their interests generally? What are their areas of expertise? And you can, people love this question where you say, it's okay to pat yourself on the back here. And then people will open up to you and say what they're good at. And it's really fun to ask people that question. What other groups are you a part of? Right. And then I ask them to circle what types of tasks they enjoy. And teasing at out this difference between, are you comfortable talking with strangers, or do you prefer talking with familiar people? You know, you like writing. Well, there's different kinds of writing. You know, some people like writing social media posts, and other people like writing letters to the editor, and other people like writing letters to Congress. What do you like? It really, really helps, such that when I have a job that I need somebody to do, I can write to that person without embarrassment, without feeling bad about asking for help. I'm not imposing on them, because I know they like to do this thing anyway. And I get nearly 100% yes rate when I ask this way. Whereas if I send a, hey, who can help with X, if I write that to our listserv, I get zero responses. So yeah, okay. So as I said, right, the wish list is just a sample of tasks that we, you know, value in our chapter. One tip I want to highlight: when you're working with a new volunteer and you're assigning them a task, it's really important, really helpful to start with a single task and instead of a role, because you don't know them and they don't know you, and they've said they like, you know, that they're good at X or they really like doing X, but you don't know them from Adam. And it may be that they're not very reliable about doing X or et cetera. So you could, for example, invite them to take notes at the upcoming town hall meeting. And if they prove reliable and enthusiastic and they do a good job, then you could give them more responsibility on that front. And you can be upfront about that when you've had your intake interview with them and you say, okay, so if I heard you right, it sounds like you like X, Y, and Z types of tasks. And maybe highest priority for you is which of those things would you like to start with? And would it be okay if we start with one thing? Because maybe, you know, it might be nice for you to dip a toe in the water, see if you feel like it's a good fit working with us. And people are really relieved to start with something small. I find consistently people are relieved to start with something small. And what you can say to them in that moment is, and if it turns out you end up really liking that, then we can talk more about what might be next steps for you. So this speaks to the question that was in the chat. Two people said they were interested in learning, okay, well, you know, I'd like also to know, what do I do with my veteran volunteers who have been doing X for a while but might want to grow in their involvement? You can do these intake interviews with them too. You don't have to do it with just new volunteers. You can go to your veteran volunteers and say, hey, you know, I want to check in with you. How's it been going? And would it help you to think about how to grow your involvement based on your interests, right? It really works well. Right. So one more, if you want to skip this whole intake interview thing, it's too complicated for you, or you don't have the people power to interview that many people. And a thing that you could do instead, so our chapter is large enough that we have action teams. So, you know, the five levers that CCL talks about, levers for making progress with your member of Congress: grassroots in outreach, grass tops outreach, media, lobbying, and chapter development. We have an action team for each of those. And we have breakouts for each of those action teams at the end of our, you know, second half of our meeting is devoted to that. It's lovely to have a new volunteer show up at your meeting and you just say, hey, would you like to be a fly on the wall, sit in on this action team or that action team? And don't be embarrassed if it turns out that isn't really the one for you, and you get up and you go and you look at a different one, right? You could just plug in new volunteers that way. You don't have to do the intake interview thing at all. And instead, you know, if it turns out that new volunteer shows up again and again in a particular action team, then you look for a mentor in that action team who can take that person aside and say, hey, how would you like to plug in with our action team? And if you don't already have action teams, because some chapters are, you know, smaller, or maybe you haven't, you know, you're larger, but you haven't organized yourselves that way. The Rochester chapter finds that it's really easy to launch a new action team in the following fun way. They'll pick a CCU, you know, a webinar like what you're watching right now, and somebody will say, hey, you know, I was thinking of watching the blah blah webinar. Anybody want to join me? Anybody like that topic? And you have a viewing party, and that group then at the end of that webinar decides, hey, let's take action together on that topic. It was really cool. And they sort of launched themselves as a little work group. So this business of pairing veteran volunteers with new volunteers to check in, that idea is, okay, so a few weeks pass and your new volunteer is no longer really a new volunteer. They've been engaging in whatever tasks you've been giving them. It's nice to pick a veteran volunteer who would be willing to be a buddy for that person and check in and say, hey, how's it going? Do you need any more resources? Do you have any questions like that? Okay, right, so Zoom conference. As we've got in the slide here, face-to-face, there's, you know, great benefit to that, but a lot of people can't. And so here's what we did. We started by asking our state coordinator, Sarah Mitiga, who's awesome, for access to a Zoom line. So every state coordinator has access to a Zoom line, because Sarah did. And she said, sure, you know, when do you want to use it regularly? Okay, we'll block out time on the calendar for you to use that Zoom line, and it'll be yours. And then asked her to mentor us, to walk us through, okay, well, what does it mean to host a Zoom call? How does the technology work? And it was very easy. It was surprisingly easy. So you can ask your state coordinator how to show you that. And then we tested it by having one of us call the other. I have a co-leader, Nancy, and she and I practiced by, she was calling me, and I, now for our meetings, our monthly meetings, we set up the Zoom, you know, 20 minutes ahead of time, make sure the technology is working. And we use a single laptop that's, you know, in the middle of the table. and we plug into it two things, a microphone, and we also plug in a an external speaker to, a Bluetooth speaker works well, and everybody can hear it really well. The microphone, we recommend passing the microphone around so that the person who's, the people who are sitting in person at your meeting take turns holding the microphone when they are speaking, then everybody can hear. Everybody who's on Zoom can hear well. If you don't pass the microphone around, it can get tricky for people who are a little hard of hearing. Any further questions about Zoom, you're welcome to email me. So this is the last thing I'll mention before going back to that teleconference business. How do you do teleconference in your meetings? This is something we've piloted this year that's worked really well. Because we're a large district and we started in one corner of the district, and in particular a very liberal bastion of Ithaca, and the rest of our district is rural and conservative, we had to make a concerted effort to figure out, okay, so how do we grow, how do we reach more volunteers who are in areas that are remote from us? I'm not going to go into the details of how we've done that here tonight, but I wanted to make a pitch for if that topic interests you, and we'll be very happy to share our pilot and how and why it's been working for me. And now I'll give it back to Brett.
Oh, well, thank you, Miranda. This has been just very elucidating on so many different levels. And before we do, though, we do have just a couple of final words of advice, and almost on cue, Tina in the chat here has really been asking, you know, don't forget to ask for help, and to really be able to highlight the power of asking for help. Let's defer back to Jean with some advice that she specifically has on how to help get your own chapter going and really learning how to ask for what you need. So we'll pass it back to you, Jean. And with that, we'll also do a quick review that Jean has for some other advice on chapters that are just getting up and started, that maybe think after listening to tonight's training so far, wow, this is great, but I have no ability to have bandwidth for that. I know that Miranda's been doing a great job of highlighting some considerations, and Jean has other ones that she wants to get to. So with that, let's make sure that we can share Jean's video. And here we go.
So the other thing I want to make sure people are clear about is that the way you get your chapter moving is to learn how to ask. Creating yourself as an asking machine sounds funny. But, you know, inspired by what Adam Levine has told us, that the key to working with other people is to get into their world, to ask them about their world. If you don't already know quite a bit about it, to, you know, like, how is your volunteering going with you so far? Are you happy with what you're doing? Is this organization working for you? That sort of thing. And then asking for what you need. We tell all of our team leaders, don't suffer. If you're suffering, then there's an ask missing. Go start asking and get good at asking. And be like, ask for everything you need, not just a partial request. Like, you know, if you need $100, don't ask for 50, ask for $100. Or if you need five volunteers, don't just, you know, ask, just say, we're looking for five volunteers. Would you be interested in being one? So ask for everything, ask often, make it just something that you get used to. And, you know, just deal with in your head, you probably got all kinds of reasons why you shouldn't ask. And those are just myths. This is the key. Because people coming into our organization, they want to be engaged. They're waiting for you to ask them something that they can say yes to. So it's, yeah, so get good at asking. Do it often. If you make a mistake, the apologies can often bring you closer to people. So why not just get okay with apologizing and ask a different way? I learned a few phrases that really helped me, and one of them is using the word consider. Would you consider, you know, Have you ever thought of being trained to lead a chapter meeting? Would you consider something like that? It gives them a lot of room to say, not really, or, you know, yeah, I would like that. Now is not the time, but, you know, maybe in a couple months I could do that. So asking is big, and it will make, it's the answer, I think, for us right now. Ask away. I think doing a really good job of welcoming the new people and taking them into the point where they're engaged is critical. Also, ask your current volunteers, ask them, like, are you engaged the way you want to be? Are these the activities that you want? There are some good activities that are easy for new people to get engaged in, and one of them is a calling campaign. Calling Congress, our chapter just kind of stumbled across it. Ellen Van Velzer gave us the idea, and we said, oh, sure, let's do it for one of our more challenging Congress people. And all of a sudden, we have gotten a lot of mileage. It has new people get engaged in an easy way, just calling once or twice a month on a schedule that somebody, you know, maybe reminds them or sends out some ideas. So finding easy ways of people getting engaged and then, or letting people go with what they want to do. The other thing is peace of mind. Like, don't worry about it. You see the big problem and you see our small efforts to get there, but don't worry. The worry just drains away your energy. Just do the next step. And then from there, you'll see another step to take and maybe another ask to make, and then make titles for people. Hey, you like to do tabling, right? Can we send all the people who want to do tabling over to you, and you can just work with them and maybe a little like a center of expertise or a hub? And, you know, in a couple months, that'll be a team. But right now, it's just a hub. It's just a couple people. Fred's the one you go to when you want to do some tabling. So, yeah, just build it one brick at a time, and it doesn't have to look like any other chapter. Whatever your chapter is, it'll be perfect, and it all works in the long run. So have fun with it.
It's a wisdom to live by. Thank you so much, Jean, as well. And what we're going to do is go back to actually sharing one last piece of advice. And that is, so say you've heard everything that we've talked about tonight, and you really would like to also automate this or make it as much as possible plug and play to really minimize the amount of work that you or your welcome team needs to do and really have it set up and then walk away and not think about it as much. Let's highlight some of the power of new community and your group function in order to do that. And what we're going to do is walk through three sections of your group page: your About Us section, your general welcome email that you can make sure is automated to send to everyone that's automatically added to your chapter. And now with CCL New Community, all of new volunteers signed up and paired with new chapters will automatically get sent that customized email. And we'll also show you how to, you know, set up an About Yourself forum or an Introduce Yourself forum to help get the discussion started with your local team. And I'll also highlight that all of this is information that is available in the FAQs and that actual how to use community guide that's available as well online. So let me just walk through these three. You can see here, we've got Kentucky Lexington's group set up, and you might notice, you know, on, you know, this first glance, you know, all three of the things that we see, you know, here that we're really trying to encourage: a friendly welcome, you know, specific call to action, you know, people participating here, and more information to really be engaged in this About Us block. So to show up and really kind of edit your About Us block, you're just going to click, once you get to your home page, under this admin button on the left side navigation. Now, you want to make sure that you're set up to be one of the admin for the pages, and we won't get into do that right now, but you'll just have to work with your chapter leader if you aren't already listed that way to make sure that you have access. And then you can see that there's this block right here that's called the group description or About Us block. You can play around with formatting and bold things. You can play around with colors and font sizes. You can embed links by clicking on this fun little link button. We happen to send people to our Facebook page right away so they can find out about events that are coming up and really plug online social media-wise, see what we're sharing. And you can also, again, encourage immediate action with, you know, introducing yourself in our group forums. So that's a link that actually goes right to our forums. People can see it there. You can also embed photos to really make this page come alive and get a sense of who you are as a group. But with that, let's also think through how to set up a welcome auto email. So what you're going to do is click on admin again. And I guess before I forget as well, if you do any edits in About Us, make sure to go to the bottom of this page and click save, or else it won't save and you'll be left with all the work that you've just put in disappearing into the ether of the internet. So for any of these pages that you've made edits on the back end, make sure that you always, wherever that save button is on the bottom, click save for it to be stored. So let's go to the Welcome and Info tab then under admin. And from there, you'll see that there's this other lower tab that says welcome message. What this welcome message does is automatically get sent out to every new group member when they join, you know, and sign up for CCL about an hour later. It's staggered so that they get the generic CCL national email and then this group level welcome email about an hour apart from each other. Now, it's turned on by default, and you can see that with this little checkbox. And you also have the power to not only make sure that it's, you know, continuing to be sent, but to customize this to say whatever you'd like it to. And this automatically then can send out to anyone as they sign up for CCL. You can have that Google Form interview, get to know you interview. Again, you can link people to that first call to action with your local team. You can let them know how to contact you outside of community in case they're having a hard time, you know, with a direct email. Again, you can include photos. Whatever you want to do to make sure that this is set up and you don't have to think about it, it will automatically email everyone moving forward that gets added to your group. So feel free to use, again, this whole rich text editor and then click save. And using some of the best practices that we've just highlighted, feel free to customize and really be able to have that available. The last element I wanted to highlight was the importance of having some kind of a forums presence. So if you click in your group to the forums topic, you can easily start a get to know you thread or any other topic that you want to generate interest towards and really be able to welcome people so that when they land on that homepage, they can automatically see, oh, wow, this is an active group. I'm just signed up. You know, here's a couple of other people that have also been introducing themselves and who they are and what they're doing. And that way it really breeds a sense of community and activity for others that as they join, they can also see, you know, how this group is really actively involved in welcoming other new members. So those are the three areas that I really wanted to highlight. And if you have any questions, you know, please feel free to go down. You can always access the FAQs, the very bottom actual green bottom banner. You can also click on this little question mark button at the top of the menu for anywhere on the page, and you can get there that way too. So with that, here is my email as well as Jean's and Miranda's and the link to the forums. I'll put all these in the chat for anyone that's interested. Please feel free to reach out after tonight if you have any questions. We are so grateful for everyone being on the phone and for all of your leadership. We hope that you found tonight's training useful, and we definitely want to help make your group feel more empowered and get more new volunteers engaged with wherever you might be. So with that, but thank you all for being on the line, and especially to Miranda and to Jean, thank you for your wisdom and your leadership and helping show us the way and figure out how we can get more engagement with our own groups too.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.